A look inside Everbank Field as the Jaguars prepare for Week 14 in the National Football League. And we welcome you inside in the team room at Everbank for Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier.
At the three-quarter pole, J.P.
That's right. Four games to go.
75% through, 25% to go.
Anything can happen.
I'm a math guy.
In December.
Yes, it can.
And we'll find out the next few weeks if the Jags can get something done the rest of the way. Plenty to get to today, of course. The Colts again. The Jaguars are back in the AFC South this week. They'll welcome in Matt Hasselbeck and the Indianapolis Colts. We'll hear from Blake Bortles, as always, on Wednesday. The Jags quarterback addresses the media. We'll carry that live. And one of his weapons is back on the field this week. Allen Hurns will join us right here on set to discuss the Jags offense and the view from the sideline last week, his first view from the sideline as a pro. We'll get some social media questions for Allen coming up. Let's take a look at the AFC South standings entering Week 14. It's Indy and Houston, of course, at 6-6, both leading the way. Indy at the top. Jacksonville at 4-8. Tennessee now 3-9 with a win over the Jaguars last week. And some more interesting matchups of the division teams this week. Of course, the Jags have the Colts and some tough games for the other two. So, what's left? You know, the team's pretty much out of the playoff run. That's a very much a long shot.
Yeah.
What's the motivation here?
And I'll admit, I was deflated for a little while. I mean, it fun to talk playoff scenarios, and it was great, and this December would have been a lot more interesting had that happened.
Right.
At the same time, put that away. These last 4 weeks, it strikes me that this game Sunday is really the last chance that this team has to get out of this season and look like it's really better to the fan base that doesn't believe it. I mean, I believe they're better. Many people covering the team believe they're better. There's a faction that don't.
Sure.
But
yeah.
You beat the Colts. You finish strong in the division. You get a couple out of that Saints-Falcons deal. And 7-9, 6-10, you know, 7-9 sounds so much better than 6-10. That's still there. And I think you've got to get to the end of the season still competing, still playing games, 5 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go, where it's competitive or it can go the other way. You have to maintain that. So that to me is what the last month of the season is about. You need to maintain this idea you have in the locker room that, yes, this is better, even though the record isn't there. And I think in that sense, the last 4 weeks really matter.
This is a game this week coming up against the Indianapolis Colts that the Jags can get back because they lost in a heartbreaking fashion up at Lucas Oil Stadium.
And beating the Colts is always good.
On the front, positive.
That I was talking about, that would be after what you sort of gave away up there to get it here. And even beyond all that, the offense last week felt like it confirmed something that we had felt it was close to doing all season. And then you had it. So I think to do that Sunday, that would also give that feeling I was talking about of people can look at it and go, yes, I see something that I believe in going forward.
Week four was a long time ago, and of course Jason Myers missed a couple of potential game-winning kicks against the Indianapolis Colts. The offense, a couple of guys stood out in that game. Hurns had a big game, by the way, and T.J. Yeldon had his first 100-yard game on the ground for the Jags. So same kind of idea, right? They had some good things going offensively, but the old red zone thing kicked in that game too.
Well, and it kicked butt, so to speak. I mean, it was the reason that they didn't get the win. But you mentioned T.J. Yeldon and Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson and Blake Bortles. I think what's really interesting, even dating back to the Indy game, dating back to early in the season, we're talking about the same guys over and over every week. And now you've got a 12-game body of work where if you step back and look at from a distance, I guess, you see guys who have put forth performances that you believe will carry forward, that you believe aren't flukes, that you believe in a year or two defensive coordinators are going to be sitting in film rooms trying to figure out how to stop these guys and having to game plan for these guys. And at the beginning of the season, I don't think you knew for sure that you were going to be saying that about anybody in the Jaguars offense. So that, to me, at the three-quarter pole, so to speak, is what this team has built that it can believe in and going forward in the offseason. Record aside, that's very significant right now. And again, need to maintain that going forward. I don't know what momentum means for an off season anymore. I don't know how much that carries forward, but I do know you want that to be solid going forward and something you can build around and something that can be your foundation.
Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. Blake Bortles coming up and Alan Hearns here on set as well. The matchup this week, it's very rare. The Jags will not face Andrew Luck this season. Matt Hasselbeck is the quarterback still for Indianapolis. So with Luck trying to recover from the lacerated kidney, he's another week or two away from coming back in the lineup. But Hasselbeck has a bit of a history against the Jags. 5 starts, a 3-2 record against the Jaguars. 2 of those with Seattle. The first one was back in 2005. A couple with Tennessee and, of course, the one this year. 10 touchdowns, 5 picks against the Jaguars all time.
Well, and I think what Hasselbeck did in October, it was October 4th, that game, is what he is. He's not going to absolutely light it up on you anymore. I don't think he's going to run for 87 yards like Mariota did the other day.
Fair to say, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. Even though it would be against the Jaguars, if he does it, I want to see it. You know, I want to watch that.
You might want to DVR that one.
So, right. But he's going to be efficient. He's going to be smart. He's going to put the team in situations. He's probably not going to hurt you. On the other hand, on the other night against Pittsburgh, he had his first game of 5 starts this year where he didn't really play that well. Mm-hmm. He had 2 interceptions, a lost fumble. Mm-hmm. Now, the other side of that is Pittsburgh can put pressure on you. You've got to put pressure on any quarterback. That's the Achilles heel that I'm sure is on that little sheet of yours that we're going to talk about. But if you can pressure him, you can get to him. But don't think just because he's a 40-year-old quarterback that he's a guy who's automatically going to give you the game. That's not what he is. He showed you that in October, and he's really shown that in his 5 starts this year so far.
Of course, 40-year-old quarterbacks have seen a lot of football, too, so there's not a lot you can throw at him that he hasn't at least seen before. You mentioned the pressure.
I'd love to be a 40-year-old quarterback. I'd love to be 40 or a quarterback.
Or a quarterback.
I'll take either one.
Or both.
Put it that way.
Yeah,
right.
Why not? That would be nice. The Jags defense, of course, wants to get pressure with 4. That's the goal of every defense, really, in the league, but certainly this scheme for Gus Bradley and Bob Babich. But they haven't been able to really get that done this year. We look at the Leo position, which is the pass rushing end position for this team, and their production this year has not been great. Branch, 11 tackles, couple of sacks, 2 hurries, that's it. Clemens, 9 tackles, 2 sacks, 6 hurries, and then Davis and Smith are really kind of role guys that come in there. Gus said it last week, they got to get more out of the position in terms of the pass rush. They like what they've done against the run.
Yeah, unfortunately with the pass rush, you said the Jaguars want to get pressure with 4. I always tell my son Jake, you know, he says, I want. And I say, well, it's good to want things.
That's right.
But, I mean, you're going to get it. Mm-hmm. So right. I don't think realistically you're going to have this team turn in miraculously this year to a team that with 4 guys putting their hand on the ground and pressuring their quarterback into mistakes. If that was going to happen, it would already happen. So the dilemma, as Gus Bradley went into very heavily on Monday, how do you get it? Okay, it means blitzing. Well, this isn't a very good blitzing team. So you blitz, and then you're behind Marcus Mariota. And when you have 7 guys, 6 guys behind Mariota, and he's 1-on-5 with defensive backs, he's dangerous. So, and with passing quarterbacks, it's the other thing. You know, the ball goes out, and you have fewer defenders back there. So I got a lot of questions this week about, does Gus have the answer to this? Well, I'm not sure there is an answer. So I don't think... How do you get pressure with 4? I don't know if you can. And you're going to put yourself in vulnerable situations blitzing, which he knew going back to 4 or 5 weeks ago. So I think it's going to be sort of a crapshoot, roll the dice. Yes, they have to blitz because you can't let the quarterback stand back there. So you hope to minimize the big plays as much as you can. I don't know how realistic it is to think that it's going to be fantastic results. What you hope is that you can get some winning results.
Matt Hasselbeck this week, 40-year-old. Matt Ryan coming up. Drew Brees as well. Mm-hmm. Some guys that can sling it, especially in the face.
Well, some experienced guys who, the more experience you have, the better you are against the blitz.
That's right.
So that's where they'll be in a situation. Do they go back to playing 4-3-5 rushing and playing a little safer in the back end? You know, to throw a wrinkle at a team that maybe expects you to blitz. Those are the decisions they have to make. I don't think they're going to come down and say, hey, John, we're blitzing a lot of this. You know, so we won't know until game time.
That's right.
But it's certainly a dilemma to watch. It's the storyline. And I wish I could say that I thought it was going to get solved. I don't know that it does this year.
And it was a storyline before the season started, too. It certainly was. How does this team get pass rush? And it certainly shows up on the Jags' defensive rankings this year, most notably in third down conversions for the opposing offense. The Jaguars are last in the league in getting off the field.
Well, and even beyond that stat, JP, you know, I like stats with football. I also like the feeling you get watching a game.
Yeah.
And the feeling you get watching this team is every time I'm writing down on my little notepad, third and six, I'm looking out there and unless there's an all-out blitz, I'm seeing a quarterback who stands and stands and stands. And it's a little bit of a reach, I get. But for the most part, that's the vibe you get. You think back to the Texans game out here and different spots where third and seven, when you've had sort of two plays of momentum, a minute and a half in the game, where the defense is, hey, third and seven. They've done the job twice, but yet there's no confidence that you're going to back that up with getting the ball. When you play defense as well on first and second down as they have at times, there's an intrinsic part of you watching football that expects a reward. Mm-hmm. When they're playing, they expect that reward. They haven't been able to get that, and that saps your momentum.
Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. Blake Bortles coming up. Alan Hearns here on set as well. Let's get positive now, John, and talk a little offense for this team. 6 for 6 in the red zone last week. 5 touchdowns for Blake Bortles. 3 of those to Allen Robinson. Some milestones in the Jaguars franchise record book have been passed now. Yeah. So a good day offensively, at least.
I thought, unfortunately, you were going to stop at positive with pause. Unfortunately, I don't think he's playing, so I'm not sure that's that positive. But forget all that,
okay,
right? So as good a performance as this team's had offensively, you know, since back before I got back here in 2011, not even close.
Last one I can think of was the 2012 game at Houston, that overtime game, back and forth down the field, Blackman shorts, all that.
And that was, yes.
That's about it.
But that was also, here's the major difference in that, and anybody watching, I know where I'm going with this. That was Chad Henne throwing the football.
No doubt.
That was great. But you also knew that Chad Henne was not going to be throwing the football in 5 years for the team at that point. When you watched it the other day, what you saw was Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas, TJ Yeldon. You saw guys that you believe and have been told and intrinsically believe watching the team are going to be your core guys. When you see them do it, you think, okay, we hadn't seen that in the offseason. We were all speculating on what this could be. Now we've seen that happen 3, 4, 5 times. Through all the growing pains, we've also seen this. That is a really good sign. More than anything, with Bortles the other day, I thought what was intriguing and provided hope was the way in the red zone, he was not hesitant. There were plays where he knew, I'm going to throw the ball to Allen Robinson or Julius Thomas because these are guys who I believe will win this situation. They haven't had that in the skill positions, tight end, wide receiver, in a long, long time. That starts to be so. And again, my theme today has been stuff you can build around. That the other day, the way Allen Robinson played in the second half, the way he took over the game physically with his desire, with his emotion, all of a sudden that becomes something you can build around and maybe even be team-defining. You know how when you watch Dez Bryant in Dallas?
Yeah, sure.
You come away from those games thinking, this guy's going to take it over. I think of Dez when I think about the team. A-Rob might be that guy, and that's interesting.
That is definitely interesting. His rankings this year in the league are pretty high, too. Pro Bowl pace, maybe. 5th in the league in receiving yards, 2nd in touchdowns. Yes, 1st in yards per reception among players who qualify with 40 or more receptions, by the way, and 66 points. That's tied for 2nd in the league among non-kickers. It's tough to get that first one, though.
Yeah, well, and I hadn't been beating the drum for Allen Robinson for the Pro Bowl yet. I thought he was deserving, but I'm also realistic to know that second-year guys, it's a reputation thing. You often get in on the second year that you deserve rather than the first. Now I'm over that. 11 touchdowns, because he hadn't had a dominant type game. He hadn't looked absolutely dominant for a stretch. The other game to me was impressive. I hadn't seen a receiver take over a game like that in a long, long time. He's well ahead of what I thought he would be. and maybe starting to get enough on radars because of the stats, and the stats help you get on the radar of people who aren't necessarily watching your team.
That's right. There's fantasy football and all that, yes.
It helps. And I still think it's a long shot because I always think the first year that a guy makes it, or the first year that a guy deserves it, it's going to be tough. I covered Reggie Wayne, as everybody knows, in Indy. Took him 2 or 3 years to get where the story at the end of the season wasn't, he deserves to go to the Pro Bowl. Well, it's now he's going. I think once Allen Robinson gets there, which I think he will, he'll be a long-term guy there. He looks like that kind of a guy. This year still might be tough. Unfair, but it's sort of how it works.
John Allen Hearns will be our guest a little bit later after Blake Bortles' press conference. We'll carry it live.
I might watch the archive of that.
You think so?
I like hearing Allen Hearns is an interesting guy to talk to because he's always insightful, always tries. So you'll look forward to that.
It should be good. Yeah, sure. And coming off the first game he's missed as a pro, how did he handle it last week, and how does he get back into this flow offensively?
Well, it's tough, but I think the reality of his concussion situation, in this day and age, I don't think you play the week after that. It's just what we're dealing with, with that issue. I'm not a doctor enough to know all the details of that, but that's just one of those things that goes along with it at this point. I doubt he handled it very well. I mean, he's a guy who wants to be on the field. I'm sure he handled it well in terms of coaching the other guys in the field. He has a lot of respect in the locker room, but I'm sure it ate him up because he's a guy who takes pride in being out there, has worked his way into the situation. I'm looking forward to seeing him back out there because now teams are going to have to focus on Allen Robinson a lot more. Should open things up for Allen Hearns.
No doubt. Allen Robinson, Allen Hearns, Marquise Lee is healthy now. Let's go down the hallway. Blake Bortles gets to throw to all those guys this week against Indianapolis.
Third down this past game was pretty manageable for you guys. Were you pleased with how you guys were able to do on first and second against the
Yeah, I think it was good. I think, you know, definitely speaks to our base down efficiency. Being able to have those third and manageables, definitely makes it a little easier and, you know, kind of allowed us to, you know, have a better conversion rate and be more successful there.
What did you take away from that, having the high conversion rate on
third? Yeah, you know, I think it was good. You know, I thought it was our highest of the year, our best. You know, I think both third down and red zone, situational type football that we've played all year. And, we expect things like that. We expect to do that. And now I think it's, you know, like previously we've shown, we have the ability to do it. Now, you know, how do we do it consistently and week in and week out be productive in those areas?
Can one game like that change the way you feel about your confidence level about the red zone?
Right. Yeah, you know, I think it was definitely huge, you know, because not that I don't think anybody would say it, but, you know, we were to the point to where, you know, we started getting the red zone. It's like, God, man, we got to score. And, you know, not that guys were pressing or overthinking it or doing anything, but you realize that you've been unsuccessful in that area. So to have a game like that where you go 6 for 6 with 6 touchdowns, I think it's definitely a confidence boost. And, you know, like I said, it's, you know, how do we find a way to make that consistent now for sure?
How much of a motivating factor is it for you personally to see Allen Hearns get to 1,000 yards after Allen Robinson?
Right. Yeah, it's huge. Somebody said the other day the last time, you know, Jackson had a 1,000-yard receiver was, and it's been a while. And, you know, it's a tribute to those guys and really, everybody as a unit. You know, the offensive line and backs doing a good job in pickup. Those guys running good routes and getting it open and making plays. So I think, that'd be unbelievably special to have two 1,000-yard receivers, and definitely speaks to their work ethic and what they do.
Is Hearns the kind of guy that even if you haven't thrown to him for a week or two, he gets right back and it's just you just pick
up? Yeah. He's definitely a guy that is he's a quarterback's best friend because he runs really good routes. Everything's precise and accurate, and he's got good hands and has a knack for getting open and making plays.
You set the touchdown record, but actually the yardage record is within grasp to like 43, 60 something. I mean, what is that? Does that one of those mean more to you than the other?
No, I wouldn't say so. You know, I think more than anything, it just speaks to us getting better. You know, as much as Gus talks about it, you know, there's concrete evidence that we are getting better. You know, we have guys breaking franchise records and doing stuff like that. It's obviously signs of improvement. You know, not everything is, we are in a result-driven league and business, and we understand that and get that. We want that as well. But, I think to be able to show, you know, that there is improvement and progress, I think is a great sign, and I think the rest will come.
When you were getting ready for this season, did you think that these kind of numbers were a possibility based on the improvements you had made and what you'd seen around those.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of idea, not a whole lot of expectations other than, you know, want to go be successful and execute at a high level. You know, it was kind of our, you know, personally my mindset and as a group offensively, you know, what we thought. And, you know, I don't think, like, if you asked Allen, I'm not sure if, you know, he'd tell you, yeah, you know, I had a feeling or I was thinking about breaking 1,000 yards. It's kind of you go play and prepare throughout the week, and what happens on Sunday, you know, continues to build. And I think it shows, you know, the good stuff that, you know, we've been able to do.
You showed a lot of confidence in Marquise early in the game. I think you guys had a back shoulder throw pretty early in the game. Where is that confidence level at with him? And how important was it to go to him early to show that the defense that, you know, kind of you were willing to let stuff open up?
Yeah, no, very high. A ton of confidence in him. I mean, he's a guy that every time he's on the field, you know, he's very dangerous with his speed and his athletic ability and his ability to go down the field. So I think, you know, anytime you get a one-on-one shot with him, it's similar, you know, a little different. And, you know, A-Rob, you want to give him a shot to go up and high point the ball, whereas Marquise, you want to give him a chance to just go run under it, you know, because there's not a lot of guys that can run with him. So I think, you know, we have a ton of confidence in him. And then getting, you know, Hearns and Rashad are both going to be up, so it'll be good in that room.
You haven't eaten the Colts yet. Any common theme with those games? Or?
Yeah. You know, I think probably, you know, I guess looking back to last year, you know, neither one were very close. And then this one early this year, you know, came down to, you know, majority of games, right? You look back and say a couple plays could have changed it, which is most games in the NFL. But, you know, I think lack of execution was probably the main reason. So hopefully go make more plays and have a different outcome.
Does that give you a little more incentive that you
haven't beaten them? No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say, you know, because we haven't beaten them. I mean, there's a lot of teams in the NFL that I haven't beaten and we haven't beaten, you know, as a group. So, you know, I think, you know, we'll treat it like every other week and go prepare and get ready for Sunday.
You guys might have left in this. Looks like, as a team, how important are these last four games? Finishing.
Right. Yeah. You know, we talked about it this morning in our offensive meeting, and we want to finish this last quarter strong. You know, we want to go out and continue, you know, to do what we do on a weekly basis and, you know, really on our mission to try and, you know, own the AFC South, you know, so we want to do everything we can. And I think it's a really good group of guys in the locker room that nobody's, you know, looking at a record and saying, you know, I can't wait for these 4 weeks to be up so I can go home. You know, guys are excited every week. They're excited to come to work and practice, and they're, you know, definitely looking forward to Sundays and the opportunity.
The first time you guys played the Titans, it was a low-scoring
game. Wednesday comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles live on Jaguars.com, live presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with Allen Hearns, one of the guys Blake will throw to again this week. Good to see you. How you feeling? Good?
Yeah, I feel good. Ready to roll.
It's, you know, you've been battling a lot of stuff all year. Does the extra week off help you with all the other things you've been dealing with?
Most definitely. You know, last week I was able to get more treatment because I wasn't able to be out there on the practice field and let things calm down. You know, I just treated it like a bye week.
Yeah. It's the first time you've been out in the National Football League. I mean, it's tough to take, first of all, because you're such a competitor, you want to be out there. But what do you do during the game if you're injured?
You know, it was tough, you know, as far as just seeing my team out there competing, I was able to. But, you know, I had to take a positive approach to it, you know, help guys out. You know, me and Marquise Lee, we play the same position. So just tell him certain things I saw and how to adjust to it. So I was mainly just helping Marquise Lee out. You know, guys like Allen Robinson, he made my day a lot better. You know, just making those catches, seeing him doing that, I felt like I was out there on the field as well.
Assistant coach Allen Hearns is with us apparently, right? I mean, that could be something. Allen Robinson's day, though. I mean, you watch a guy take over a game like that, that's pretty remarkable.
Most definitely. You know, if any guys in this building, if you ask them, nobody's surprised because he's been doing this since OTAs and camp. So he deserve it, man. Just all the work he put in this offseason, you know, I was here with him, so he deserve it.
Marquise had a big, they threw to him a lot early in that game. And it was his first real chance to get a lot more reps than he's been getting. How did he look to you? You were there coaching him. What do you think of Marquise?
He looked really good. You know, a lot of people judge his play based off how many catches he had. But other than that, you know, if you sit down and watch film, you know, he did a good job on his routes. And blocking-wise, he did a tremendous job going to get safeties and things like that. So I'm very proud of Marquise Lee. He stepped up. You know, he played a lot of snaps, and he's still feeling healthy. So that's the main thing right now.
Allen Hearns is with us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Let's get back to you now. You know, you take a shot like you did a couple of weeks ago, and you hit the ground more than the actual hit. But is there any hesitation to go over the middle anymore? Is that ever coming in your mind now or no?
Not at all. You know, me, I play this game with no fear, and I'm going to continue to play like that. You know, concussion is unfortunate, but it's part of the game. So anytime I step out out there on the field, you know, I'm not going to be thinking about it at all.
This is a second season for you. You've spent the whole off season working here in town with Blake, without Blake, over at Bishop Kenny High School. You know, that kind of thing early in the year kind of showed up, but that's really showing up now. The chemistry between the offensive guys, the weapons on this team, that's going all the way back to the summertime, right?
Yeah, you know, it's just building that chemistry with each other. You know, year one, we are rookies. We're trying to figure things out, just going with things on the go. You know, year two, you get a little more confidence. You're out there playing. You know what to expect as far as how you're going to treat your body and things like that. And just all us being in year two, you know, we just building that chemistry. As more you with guys, you start to build more chemistry, and you can see that on the field right now.
What have you seen from Blake Bortles from the start of the year to now? How has he progressed throwing the football to you guys?
He's really progressed. You know, my main thing for him, you can really see he's taking ownership of his offense. You know, if it's changing protections or giving us a route, you know, he really done a good job right now with that. And also his ball's on point right now. As you see, especially with balls with A-Rob and things like that, they just giving him a shot and not overthrowing him and things like that. So we just getting our timing down pat.
Let's go to social media. You have a social handle, right? What's your Twitter handle?
A1 Hearns.
A1 Hearns. It's on your screen, and you can ask him directly if you'd like to, but we'll take a few right now. Let's start off on Twitter. Professor Floyd 88 asking, what is your most memorable touchdown grab to date?
It'll probably have to be the London catch. You know, that was my first game winner.
Yeah, that's a pretty memorable one. Yeah. Where's the ball? You stole the ball?
I actually didn't keep the ball. You know, I was too caught up in the moment, so I wasn't even thinking about it.
You threw it away and they didn't find it for you. That's unbelievable. Let's go to Instagram. One got three asking, who is the best cornerback you faced this season?
I'll probably say Darby. You know, he's undersized, but he's very quick. He get in and out of his cuts.
Mm-hmm. Mayad Bill, do you think you can reach 1,000 this season? Of course, Allen Robinson went over 1,000 last week, the first Jags receiver since 05 to do that. If you hit 1,000, it'd be the first duo since 2001. I don't know if you knew any of that, but no. Could you hit 1,000, you think?
You know, I feel like if I play in these last four games, that'll take care of itself.
Do you even know what you have right now?
No.
Your numbers? You want me to tell you or no?
It don't matter.
Okay, I won't. I'll hold off then. Let me know if you want to know. I've got him right here.
Okay.
Giovine Matthew 80. Why did you pick number 88?
Because I can't wear number one.
Oh, no. That's not allowed. Because you were number one down at the U, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a league mandate.
Mandate, yeah. Can't wear a single digit.
They didn't wear a single digits in the NFL. So there's number 80. It's probably the only one left, right?
Yeah.
There's an undrafted guy. Guess what?
You get the number.
Enjoy number 88. What's your favorite pregame music? The question from Fab Silva 34.
I like to listen to Future. You know, he brings a lot of juice. So he got a lot of music as far as if you want to be crunk or if you want to be calm. So I listen to him. I switch it up pretty times.
All right, let's start with that. So crunk or calm?
I like the calm.
You like the calm?
Yeah.
The calm before the game?
Calm, very calm.
Okay, but he has both?
Yes, he
okay.
does.
All right, I'll have to look into that on iTunes. Hunter Fishback, when did you realize you're going to be a game changer and difference in games? What was your first reaction to being a big-time receiver? Or do you consider yourself that?
Oh, that's a tough one. But, you know, for me, when I realized it, probably I realized my first preseason, you know, just making those plays. You know, I've been doing it at camp and OTAs and seeing it translate over to the preseason, and then you come out and do it week one. So once you get in the groove, you like, oh, I really could do it in this league. And that just translates over. Going into year two, you're playing a lot more confidence. So I guess you got to keep progressing.
We got a couple more. We'll get you out of here, Alan. Jan Rodriguez, 23. What major changes do you see from this year's team compared to last year? How is this group different from last year's Jaguars team?
I feel like we're more complete. You know, we're still coming up short in games, but we play more as a team. You know, eliminate the turnovers. You know, yeah, we still having them, but at the end of the day, our numbers are down from last year. And defense-wise, you know, they've been doing a tremendous job stopping the run. So the main thing with us, you know, just staying consistent this year and eliminating mistakes.
Let's finish with Allen Hearns here. You know, there's a month left in the season, four games, two here at home, two out on the road to finish it up. The playoff situation is very kind of far-fetched right now, you know, having a lot of things happen out of your control to help you guys in. So the motivation the rest of the way. You got a young group of guys on offense that are playing good football together. How do you guys rally here in the last month of this season and play well?
We always have a positive approach to things, you know, and that starts with Coach Gush. You know, each week we come in, try to deserve victory, being our best. And, you know, for the guys, everyone wants to do good. It don't matter if it's the last four games, first four games. You know, every time we step out of the field, we're trying to get the victory.
Alan, it's great to see you. Stay healthy. Good luck this week.
Appreciate it.
Alan Hearns joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Come see Alan and the Jags this Sunday. The Indianapolis Colts are coming December 13th, a 1 o'clock kickoff. For tickets, visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Our thanks to John Oser, Jaguars.com senior writer, who joined us earlier. Blake Bortles, you heard from him in his regular Wednesday press conference. And Alan Hearns, Jaguars wide receiver. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.